The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Michael White and this is Conference Daily. I'm talking to you from the cavernous but very empty hall of the Echo Arena. They're packing up for the Liberal Democrats to go home this afternoon after their final session this morning, the last day of what has been a pretty friendly, bit anguished, but much more jolly, gleeful even, Lib Dem conference. They're in power for the first time since 1945. Vince Cable had the big spot, delivering a much-awaited and highly popular speech. Here's a bit of it.
I've managed to infuriate the bank bosses. I've acquired a fatwa from the Revolutionary Guards of the trade union movement. I've alarmed the Daily Telegraph with a progressive graduate payment. And I've upset some very rich people who are trying to dodge British taxes. I've concluded that I've concluded on the strength of that I must be doing something right. But I am told that I look miserable. I'm sorry, conference, but this is my happy face.
Dr. Vince's office had taken the precaution of handing out clips from his speech to the press in advance, overnight, midnight embargo. Very slick trick for a politician. It guaranteed him lots of headlines in this morning's paper. Much alarm from all the right people, old enemies of the Liberal Democrat Party. In fact, the speech was much more balanced. And he said, you know, I'm a free market man, but markets don't always work. They need to be properly regulated. Bad boys with their irresponsible bonuses need to be taxed. So it was a speech with good populist crowd-pleasing lines, but a message which the core of which many people who write for the Financial Times couldn't disagree with much. And he, of course, described the big challenge ahead for Lib Dems in the coalition.
The big question is, what is it like being in bed with the Tories? Well, first of all, it's exhausting. Hold on, I wasn't going in that direction. No, it's exhausting because you keep having to fight to keep the duvet. And to hold our own, we need to maintain our party's identity and our authentic voice. Remember, we had to go through a merger to found our party, and we'll never merge again.
Well, the centre of gravity in this party is still on the left of the political spectrum. Of course, that's where the tension lies. They're in what you might call a civil partnership with the Tories. And like Vince's attack on mansions, remember the mansion tax last year? He still wants one, by the way. His speech was always going to bring delegates to their feet. Let's grab some of them as they leave the arena, heading for their lunch.
I thought that was a very fair and good speech and seemed to make the essential points of what being in a coalition means.
And what was that, the essential point?
The essential point that you hold to your own principles, but that you may find yourself in a position where you have to make compromises, but you should always be able to come back to your party and be able to justify those compromises and be also able to have a clear idea of what your own principles are and the guiding light for the future.
What did you think of that?
Vince's speech? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
What did you like about that?
Well, he was pointing out the achievements we've had in the coalition government. He's pointed out the flaws in Labour, and he's pointed out a really positive way forward despite a really tough economic environment.
Were you listening to Vince Cable's speech?
Yes, I was.
What did you think?
Brilliant. He's a great figure to sort of maintain support and morale up in the party, because he understands the concerns of the grassroots membership and he shows that he can fight hard within that coalition for us. I think
who do you instinctively trust most of all? Who's your man out of that lot?
It would be Vince.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because he's not been afraid to say where we have been distinctive. Probably when he mentioned the mansion tax just now, that is something that we fought on in the election, and he's not ashamed to admit that that is something that we still believe in.
Leaving the hall, I also cornered Deputy Leader of the Party, Simon Hughes, another of the heroes of this week. What did you think of Vince's speech?
I thought Vince's speech was excellent. I thought he explained the economics of our position, explained Labour's failure, and explained the balance that he is seeking to apply, but his absolute determination to deliver on Lib Dem principles. I think everybody went away absolutely reassured that he's the right man in the right job at the right time.
The overnight media had been given, as this was a big no-holds-barred on capitalism, but in fact a much more nuanced, dare I say, balanced speech than that. He said, I'm pro-markets, but markets are sometimes rigged and irrational.
The speech was always going to be balanced. Everybody who saw it before knew that. The press coverage has always was wanting to be self-serving in some parts of the press and trying to suggest it was some sort of attack on the markets. Vince is very clear. He believes in market economics, but in a civilized society, you regulate that, you intervene, you have to do things to make sure you have just outcomes, and you make sure the key people, the banks who have failed, now don't fail again and that they deliver.
Tell us about your week. How's it been here in Liverpool? How you feel about it? How it's gone?
I think it's gone very well. The phrase that best sums it up for me is a serious conference for serious times. People have been rising to the challenge of being in government. The party is fit for government, clearly fit for government. Nick and Vince and colleagues are showing how they're doing their job competently, and I think the party has understood that and will now go out and sell the message.
How would you characterise, as a man of many years' experience, that sort of balance in the conference's mind, not the leadership, the conference's mind, between being a bit suspicious of this arrangement, but at the same time wanting it to succeed because there isn't a better show in town?
I think many people will have come suspicious, because although we have done coalitions in government in the UK, we've only done them in Scotland and Wales in the past with Labour, not with the Tories. In local government, of course, people have done coalitions with the Tories from our larger city downwards. So
you're saying, in a way, they're more used to it than Westminster is?
They are much more used to it. Okay. They're much more used to it. The councillors are more used to it. They know often there isn't a single party majority. The difference is that the party is having to get used to the balance between doing liberal democracy here and understanding we can't get everything we want in government.
Now, The Guardian's taken a bit of flack at the conference this week. It often does at party conferences, particularly Labour and Lib Dem ones. Andrew Stunnell and Paul Burstow, both ministers in the coalition, attacked the paper for what it sees as unfair or misreporting the past few weeks. They were on the platform when they did it too. I'm looking around for people to discuss the conference, minding my own business, and suddenly here I am being taken to task by two women delegates who don't want to talk about Vince's speech. They want to talk about the newspapers, particularly us.
I think Vince's speech was spot on. I think that the press are just attacking because they can. I haven't heard.
It's what we always
heard,
do, isn't it?
I know you do.
It's a weakness,
I know. And I think you've got a responsibility as the media to tell the truth, and you don't. We had people in here at Nick Clegg's speech earlier this week, and I was there and I know what I heard. And then when I went to listen to the news and read the papers the next day, I think all of you were in a different room.
What was the bit, you're not the first person who said that down the years, but what was the bit which was wrong in the interpretation of the Clegg?
Nick Robinson. Nick Robinson in Clegg. I know he was in there because I saw him. And he said that Nick Clegg received a polite reception. It was polite, because we are like that, but it was more than polite. It was damned enthusiastic.
Your friend is there, I think, more or less poised to agree with you.
She doesn't have to.
I agree. All I can say is, we are Liberal Democrats. We produce focuses. The Tories can't do it. The Labour Party can't do it. I have just won a local election with 65% of the vote.
Where was this?
This is in Tory... Heartland.
This is a
borough council election. A borough council election. I won on the 26th. Decorum Borough Council. In the Tory heartlands, a pretty village of Albury, which is on your television screens every week. They come to film it. And you would think it was safe Tory territory. They couldn't run an election campaign.
It's not just malice which makes the press take a more jaundiced view of things, because we do these things... We do party conferences for a living. We'll be doing another one next week. Your colleague mentioned Vince's speech being all over the television last night in advance, criticised before it was published. Now, I have to say, since we're educating each other here, who put out half a transcript of Vince's speech last night? Except Vince, of course. It's his office to it. So it was only on the TV because your people put it on the TV. Vince attacks the capitalists. So we're all involved in this, and it's not...
We're all involved, but it's what the take is. Your take is 90% negative on everything you write about us.
Well, that's given me something to think about. Let's turn now to a man who had once plotted with Tony Blair, another fellow who liked attacking the Guardian, to create a centre-left progressive alliance bent on keeping the Tories out of power, as they did to Labour and the Liberals for much of the 20th century. I'm talking about former party leader Paddy Ashdown, a man still much respected and even loved around here. Hard man to keep down, Paddy. At the Observer's Fringe meeting last night, he told Andrew Rawnsley about his involvement in the coalition forming negotiations, which did succeed. Not those he tried on in 1997, blocked by people like John Prescott, but the ones which took place unexpectedly after our May 6th election. Here he is.
Whoever we were going to do a deal with, it had to be the full Monty, to use the phrase. So my job was to try and keep the Labour deal alive, and I was working that sector while Nick and his guys and the negotiating team, who were also there, were obviously working with the Tories. Unless we'd have had those two in play, we would not have had any kind of bargaining position. And it was 5 or 6 days. None of us got very much sleep. I remember on one occasion, Monday, I think it was, David Laws came back from the negotiations.
Yeah, it was the early Monday morning.
Came back and said, these guys are a disaster. All the agreement that Gordon has made with Nick that he would stand down to make a Labour coalition a possibility is now reneged on. And I said, look, David, go home, get some sleep, leave this to me. And I rang Tony Blair and said, look, he was in the Middle East. Yeah. I actually rang Cherie first and said, where's Tony? And she said, oh, here's his number, he's in the Middle East. So I rang him up and got him out of bed and I said, look, Tony, if this is going to work, you've got to get rid of Gordon. And he said, fine, leave it to me. So the following morning, I had a chat with Mandelson and I had a chat with Ali Campbell and I had a chat with Andrew Adonis, and we all agreed that Gordon had to go, and by the afternoon he was gone. Yeah. And at that moment, what happened? Whoa, the Tories came back in and said, what more do you want now, guys? And yeah. By the way, where they came back in was with AV. Okay, we'll put AV on the table. And if we hadn't have done that... Now, having said all that, let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Having said all that, was I emotionally engaged and involved, tired and exhausted, in making the Labour deal work? By the way, at the end, I rang both Blair and Brown and said to them, if this is going to work, you have to get the three candidates standing for the Labour leadership to come out and back it publicly. Mm. Ed Balls, Ed Miliband, David Miliband. And all of them refused. And I have to say, the fact, when it became plain that there was only one deal we could do, and that was with the Tories, I was devastated. I was emotionally extremely, extremely upset for about an hour or so. And then I went into the Parliamentary Party meeting and I walked into the meeting ready to say, primed to say, look, guys, you've done this deal. I'm never going to oppose it. I'll never oppose what you want to do, what our leader wants to do and what you guys decide on doing. But I'm going home to my garden in Somerset and I wish you well. And then I read the coalition document. In the meeting. Well, I'll tell you what I said in a minute. I said, bloody hell, to myself. And then I stood up in the meeting, and in the Parliamentary Party meeting, and I said, look, I came in here really upset by this. I did not spend 30 years driving the Labour Party out of the West Country to give them an opportunity to come back. I did not see that it's our job to act to help Mr. Cameron reform the Tory party. I know that he wants to be Disraeli, but who wants to be Gladstone? I didn't spend all my time, fighting the Tories to now do a deal with them. But I've looked at this coalition document and my response is, fuck it.
Paddy Ashdown there, and incidentally, you can find on the Guardian Politics website some film I'd never seen before, footage of Captain Paddy when he was a special boat service commando fighting the Indonesians who were trying to move into Borneo, part of Malaysia, in the early 60s. He's 25, looking rugged and handsome. You can see that at guardian.co.uk/video. Right, the conference is over, and as we heard from those two women delegates, the media has perhaps presented it not as upbeat and cheerful, gleeful even, they love being in power, as it has been. There has been angst and anguish, of course. They know that if the economy goes belly up in the next year, they'll get the blame. They know for certain they'll be blamed for some of the more unpopular spending cuts, and their job is to persuade voters that their way of doing it, sharp and quick, is the better way out of the recession and the deficit hangover than the Labour way, which is to take it more slowly and worry more about growth. There are clever people and honest people on both sides of that argument. We'll have to see. It'll be a trickier conference for the leadership next year, and they know that. But this year's been a good one. Clegg, measured speech, speaking slowly. Somebody said he sounded more and more like David Cameron, but he went off to New York. He's on the TV today from the UN, looking very grand and statesmanlike. And as we said, Vince Cable sent them all home with a song in their hearts and a feeling that Lloyd George has a suitable, worthy heir in Vince Cable, who, if you remember, also bashed the rich harder and bigger and bolder than anybody else in any party in the 20th century. The 1909 People's Budget, which forced a general election, but the budget went through. Anyway, there we are. We move on to Manchester and the Labour Conference next week. I hope you join us. Producer was Phil Maynard. This is me, Michael White. Talk to you again.